Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Welcome to the Backpacking Boosters Podcast. Thank you for joining us, everybody. With me today is famous YouTuber and expensive bag lover, Rob Pelton. How's it going today, my friend?
Well, being someone as famous as I am, I'm doing pretty well. It's hard to walk around and not get recognized, but yeah. Doing well, working way too much, but such is life. And thanks for having me on.
Yeah, a lot of hoodies, I imagine, walking around in hoodies and
sunglasses. I just visited Melanzana in Leadville. I felt fortunate enough to grab a hoodie while I was there.
Did you? So, okay, that's the story. You got to like make an appointment months in advance to shop there, right?
They're out till February right now, but they had an overstock section with like three things on it, and one of them was my size, so I bought it and I took a picture. Of course
they sell jackets and hoodies, and it's like illegal to list them on eBay, is that correct?
If you do, you have to list it for at least three times more than the actual original manufacturer's suggested price. That's right.
All right, I should go up there. I should do that. All right. I know that's like, yeah, kind of culturally inappropriate for the people that love that stuff, so I'm not gonna go down that road. All right, so you were on our show, I want to say like 4 or 5 months ago, and
yeah,
you can correct me if I'm wrong with the stats here. So I think at the time you had around like 100-150 subscribers, and now you're well over 5,000. Is there a correlation here? What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, those numbers might be fudged a little bit, but I mean, since then, you know, I have been growing steadily. I mean, not by the tens of thousands that I would like, but you know, I've been steadily growing, and people are starting to find my content, which is good. And I think it's in small part, you know, by, you know, getting on podcasts like yourself, because you know, you seem to be credible, and I appreciate that. And because of that is why I'm here.
All right. Well, I appreciate that, man. Let's talk about some of your content real quick. I saw one recently. I don't know if you put it out recently, but it popped my feed recently. It was a YouTube short, and it was about some trekking pole attachment you had. So you're hiking along, and then you're just like flipping the pole back behind you onto your backpack, and then somehow like clasping or connecting. What is going on there?
I saw these gadgets, and I don't remember where, but there was a guy who hiked the AT. His name was Spuds.
Okay,
that was his trail name, and he had issues of where to put his poles. He wasn't coordinated enough to, you know, to put them off the side and pee or use maps. So he invented these little things, these little magnets where one end attaches to your pole, the other coordinating magnet attaches to your pack. And you can literally, like Deadpool and his swords, just clip them to the back of your pack, and they're now your hands free. And then when you want them, you just grab them and you're off and running. And I use them on one whole trip earlier this year, and they're actually pretty awesome. Takes a little getting used to, but they're awesome.
But the magnet is strong enough where if you kind of jolt it around or bump a tree, it's not going to fall off.
No, it won't fall off. Now, if you run through a briar patch, you'll probably lose a pole. Then you got to pick it up. But they're pretty sturdy, and they will pivot, you know, on the magnet. And they're called stick stashers. Spud, if you're watching this, I'm plugging your stick stashers. You're welcome. It's a very cool product.
Yeah, that's actually a complaint I had, because I've done some stuff, you know, where the, with the running vests and they have, what do you call them? Like quivers where you can kind of stash them a quiver, or some of them have these attachments on your shoulder straps where you can just kind of like almost, it's like a zip tie, but it's just, you know, using the shock cord kind of stuff and tie them off. But it does take, it's not as fast as what you were showing. So I was like, well, what is that? How can I do that?
I will say if you're not patient, you, it might drive you crazy because it took me a while to figure to find out what was where and here. But once I got it, it was like, click, click, boom, do stuff, grab my poles, click, click, and hold on. This is what they are. They're right here.
Okay, in a little box there.
All right. I actually ordered two sets.
Stick stashers.
And, yeah, and he sent them to me, and they're awesome. So I'm starting to put them on my bags now, and yeah, I think they're sweet.
How much do they cost out of curiosity?
I don't know. $20, $30
Okay.
I know, when you're rich and famous, like, hey, price doesn't
matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter. It does. Who cares? yeah, that's interesting. So we did. I hit a stretch in Yosemite a few weeks ago. There was a 12-mile stretch where I was wanting to use the poles, but the you know, they got so much water in the Sierras that the mosquito infestation was so heavy that I had to keep on swiping myself to keep the bugs off, and so I had to put the poles away. And yeah, I could have used something like that for sure. So interesting.
Yeah, check them out. Tell Spuds Rob Pelton sent you, because he has no idea who I am.
He will. I'll email him and let him know you're on the show. So,
all right, sounds
good. Kind of funny. All right, so okay, this episode's about 10 ridiculous things you, as in our fellow adventurers out there, are still bringing on your trips. So we're each tasked with coming up with 5 apiece. I think I got way more than 5 because I as I go on trips, I'm kind of taking mental notes of things I'm seeing out there, and there's some things that people have been bringing for years that I feel like are surprising, to say the least. So was this an easy list for you to come up with?
It was, because I still see it today. I have fallen victim to some of these items. And when you look at the items for what they are, it makes sense depending on where you are in your backpacking timeline, your career, right? In the beginning, these things make sense. As you become seasoned, like our Mr. Carl here, you soon realize that these are ridiculous things.
Right. Okay. I think I've got some things on here definitely seasoned backpackers bring. Like some people, I don't know. I got at least one on here that you have that you definitely bring.
I have one on here that I have as well. And I have I have a bonus one in here because we might overlap. So I came prepared.
Right. There's some things. Okay. You got me thinking here a little bit. There's some things on my list that for sure I could see somebody, like, they don't know any better. They're new. They've gone on a few trips and they're kind of still figuring things out. You're right. But there's some things on here that I think, I think that even the veterans are bringing.
Yeah.
That's why that's hence the title, I guess. But so we're going to find out.
Like Justin Outdoors, he might bring one of these things?
Let's see. I think he's got at least one on my list.
Okay.
I think so. All right. I think he's got, definitely saw some of this stuff. I don't know, man. Like, I just figure my intention with my list is I want to be real. These are things that I don't bring. But I'm also okay to ruffle some feathers and point out some things that I think you can do better on.
Okay. I have some things too that might cause a little controversy, but I stick by it. Okay.
So. Okay. Well, if you don't disagree, man, I mean, last time you were on, you were not shy. So I figured I don't mind poking the bear here too.
All right.
All right. You want to go first? Let me go first.
I can certainly go first just so just in case we're doubled up, I can go ahead and get this one up on you. Okay.
I got plenty, so don't worry about the doubles.
Okay. All right. I appreciate that. So one thing that's kind of ridiculous for a seasoned backpacker, especially if you're putting on higher miles and you're getting camp and you're cooking, you're going to bed, is it's ridiculous that people are still bringing Crocs. Now, I still bring Crocs because I'm not a super high mileage guy. I'm well aware I'm like 12 to 16 miles and I'm good. And I'm 100% okay carrying these 1 pound bulky items. So they really are like clouds on your feet. They're ugly and they're hideous, but man, are they comfortable.
Crocs. I see Crocs all the time. I would say every backpacking trip I see Crocs. Anytime I'm going someplace where there's other backpackers involved, we're not going super remote, I see Crocs. I looked them up. They're 12 to 16 ounces. So you mentioned a pound. So you're right on point with that. And I get, they are comfortable. I don't know, like walking around uneven ground, if I really want to do that as much. But my theory is if you're really backpacking the whole day and you got that heavy pack on, doesn't it feel amazing to take the pack off? And when you're walking around without the pack on, I don't know, just like with my regular shoes, I feel good, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, then, yeah, in and of itself, yeah, anything feels better without your pack on, right? But sometimes, depending on what kind of environment you're hiking in, maybe your shoes are soaked and you don't want to walk around in camp with your wet and damp feet, right? But it's something about just putting on some nice, smushy, cushy Crocs is pretty nice. But I will say, if I'm going to do a high mileage, if I'm going to try to keep up with Midwest Backpacker, you know, he just did a 50 miles in 2 day thing. I probably won't carry camp shoes because I know it's going to be a trail day instead of camp days. So it's
so you're saying bring those as a luxury item only.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely not a necessity. Mileage. Yeah. For me, for sure. Sure.
Yeah. I think that you can make the case for some of these for sure where you're like, it's lower mileage, not that big of a deal. So I'm just going to kind of throw it in the pack.
It depends.
Yeah, if you're doing it. Yeah. If you're new, if you're doing a heftier trip or you're not sure how you're going to perform. Yeah. I would say definitely leave the Crocs home. Actually, Crocs were on my list. So that's funny that you had that. So out the gate, man.
All right, there you go. And then another thing about Crocs is if you're wearing shoes or boots that are giving you a blister, and having Crocs, it can help you tremendously at the end of the day because you just got to get your shoes off because they're killing your feet. You can actually hike some in Crocs. I've been in the Himalayas and people are carrying 50 kilos up a mountain with Crocs on. Seen it.
50 kilos is over 100 pounds.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know if that's good. Yeah, if you have strong enough ankles, maybe. I don't know that that's going to be good for your feet long term. Just saying. I've had a lot of foot problems. So that, yeah, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen people backpacking Crocs. I just don't know if I'd recommend that. But okay. My first one is, let's see, where should I go here? I'm going to go with the Ursac / Bear canister.
Ah, okay. All right. I agree. Keep going.
So there's places that obviously require these things, and so you're not going to get around them. But when there's places that don't require them, if you can do your research and find out, do you really, like really, do you need these is the question. And so I went on multiple trips this year, new areas, wasn't sure. One area, I wasn't even sure if it was required or not. It was very unclear. One area, it wasn't required, but the local suggested that I had to bring one. And I just know if you're specifically trying to keep your food away from the bears, there's some hot spots. There's some areas where you have to have these things, and they're typically required in those areas. Other than that, I think you're safe to store your food in the vestibule without any of those containers, and you're going to be just fine. I literally did that for all of my trips this summer and for years past, and I've never had an issue.
That's the insurance portion of it, right? You pay your premiums for years and years and years and never need it. But on the one time there is an incident, you're kind of glad you have that, right?
Maybe.
I would agree with you with the bear canisters. If you're in an area that requires them, I get it. It makes sense to me. But when you're in areas that don't require it, those are not convenient. When I was in Colorado, just recently I got back, my girlfriend, she carried a bear canister the whole time because she's, you know, hyper vigilant about that. And as long as she's carrying it, completely fine with me. I carried an Ursac again because she requested it. So, hey, Janelle, if you're watching, this is because of you. So I carried an Ursac and it worked fine. Didn't have any issues. Didn't even see a bear. Right. Didn't even smell a bear. I didn't even see scat. We saw no signs of bears.
Correct. So, okay. So to that point, had you not brought those things that weren't required in the areas you went, it would have been fine, correct?
I would say highly probable, yes.
Yeah. So this is another example of just packing your fears because people don't want to deal with that stuff. One asterisk I have for this is if you are going to an area that has a lot of critters that are going to get into your stuff and you're keeping the critters out, I think the Ursac is fine for that. And again, that goes back to kind of doing your research for that. But I am not... Yeah, if there's a way for me to avoid bringing these things, especially if I'm in a large group, which I typically am, then I want to leave it at home. I hate those things. Hate them.
I don't blame them. They're bulky. They're heavy. And for most places and most trips, they are unnecessary. And it's funny that you mentioned critters because we did have a critter problem getting into our food.
Oh, okay.
While it was in the car at the trailhead.
What did they do?
They just got into our little food bags, our snack bags. While we were sleeping in the tent that night, and they got into the car and got into like our drink mixes and all that kind of stuff and chew holes. So we had to basically go to town and resupply because of that.
But how did they get, did you leave your windows down? How'd they get in the car?
No, no idea. Did it come through the vents? Did it hide in there all night or what? But it happened two nights in a row.
What kind of critters are we talking, like chipmunks or what are you talking about here?
It was probably a mouse. It was so small, but it got into the bag and it happened twice. So even in your cars, you got to keep your food protected. Put them in a bin.
Okay.
Or if you want to bring a bear canister, put your food in the car in the bear canister.
Right. You got me thinking, like a mouse can climb into your car with it sealed up through the vents. That's like the most disgusting, that you're like grossing me out right now. That's horrible.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Beware. They're out there.
Okay. So you could be driving down the road and a mouse is like stowed away in your car vents, and then hey, little visitor, it's kind of peeking through there.
Yeah, they really like Liquid IV, evidently.
Okay. I gotta look that up. Okay, I gotta see if that's a thing. Are you sure you didn't leave a window down? Are you sure about that?
Positive. We were very vigilant, especially on night two. Very vigilant. In the morning, open up the hatch. Sure enough.
All right. If you're on YouTube, do you believe Rob that he didn't leave a window down? That the mouse is climbing through the vents in the car? Do you believe him? Yes or no? I'm just going to put it out there as a question. So, all right. What's next on your list?
All right. A lot of things that a lot of people carry when they're backpacking. A lot of people have this thing where if they're backpacking, they always want fire. Right? They always want to build a fire, which means they need to bring things to create a fire. So these are a 3-for-1 kind of deal. Right?
Okay.
Things that are ridiculous if you're going on a backpacking trip. You don't need a saw. Okay? You don't need anything like saw. This. Okay?
Okay.
You don't need a hatchet.
Okay. Right?
Unnecessary. And this is, I actually see this quite a bit. You don't need a dedicated knife. You don't need anything like this on a backpacking trip. Okay?
Wait, were you on the show alone? Those are all like props from the show, it looks like.
It might be. Just I know no one breaks into my house.
Okay.
But
you got those like bedside or where are those things?
No, these get locked up in the safe. You know, I brought them out just for you. But I see people carrying these big knives, completely unnecessary. Most of the time on backpacking trips, especially in the summer, you're not having a fire. No, it's too warm. In the fall, I'll give you that. But even then, all you really need is a small knife. But for normal backpacking, you don't really need a knife at all. You know, maybe a small one to cut open some packages or maybe to cut some tape or something. Other than you don't need these items.
Okay. Couple things you said. So first of all, what's wrong with having fires in the summertime? What happened to you?
Well, I live in Minnesota, and if you're outside,
okay, so your area.
Oh yeah, you're just gonna eat up by mosquitoes. It was cute that you mentioned you had a mosquito infestation, but you haven't been to northern Minnesota yet.
Yeah, I got some video footage, and if you can beat that, then awesome. More power to you. I don't want to go to northern Minnesota. Right. The other thing, so you keep a knife in a safe. You said you locked that stuff up in a safe?
I mean, I have certain things in the home that I don't want just laying about willy-nilly. You know what I mean? So, yeah. I mean, I have some camp knives. I have some, you know, I would take that if I was going on a bushcrafting trip, right? But definitely not.
Somebody breaks into the house, you're like, hang on, I got to go to my safe. And then you're going to whip around with weapons.
I'm part ninja, so, I mean, apparently so. Yeah, don't even try.
Do you own ninja stars?
I can't confirm nor deny that question.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't break into your house then. All right. So I didn't have the knife specifically on my list. I had overkill tools. I'm still seeing a lot of multi-tools out there. I did see a knife from a backpacker recently, like strapped to his calf, that was as big as the one you were showing, which looked like, I don't know what that was, like a 6-8 inch knife. And so, and then I asked, I said, what do you use that for? And the answer was like, nothing. Just want to strap to my calf.
Yeah. Out here, it's kind of socially acceptable. Kind of.
Our next up is sometimes you find something that you want to bring and it's useful, such as like a chapstick. And you're like, if I can use a chapstick for all these different things, great. What if I bring two chapsticks? Double chapsticks. Overkill. Doesn't weigh a whole lot. It's just an extra thing to bring. Who would do that, Rob? Who brings double chapsticks?
Emergency chapsticks is a real deal. Go on a backpacking trip and forget your chapstick. You'd be so glad you carry that extra Blistex in your first aid kit. Emergency chapsticks. Yep. I stand by it.
Emergency chapsticks is a phrase I'll never forget. Okay. Why? Okay. If you love chapsticks so much, how are you forgetting it in the first place?
Well, you know, you got a lot of stuff going on. You know, you're packing. You know, you got to worry about everyone else. You got to film this. You got to make sure you get a thumbnail for that. Did you bring enough knives? Did you bring enough hatchets? And then forgot my chapstick.
Okay.
And you don't realize that until you're at camp and you're ready to put it on.
Yeah, I've never had that issue. Again, we live in different areas. I've had the chapstick and forgotten to put it on, paid for it later, but it's just not on the forefront of my mind, much less two chapsticks. I know you said you like to put them on like cuts and sores and you get all, I guess, torn up on the trail. And not as much of an issue. So I'm not bringing double chapsticks.
Oh, that's okay. I got you.
Okay. You got me. Thank you.
I got you. That's my next t-shirt, emergency chapstick. I'm going to make
emergency. Don't forget the emergency chapstick. he's literally writing notes down, folks. I am. He's like mental note. Just got an idea for a video. Emergency chapstick. Okay.
I like it.
All right. What's your next one?
All right. I see a lot of people carry these, and I get it, but again, ridiculous in my opinion, because I don't think they're as useful as they think they are. Like water bladders, like Camelback style water bladders that stash into your pack. Right. They're hard to clean, they're hard to access, and it also takes up interior pack volume when it's in your pack, so you can carry less stuff, right? Yeah, you have a little hose, it seems kind of convenient, but it's not. Just carry a water bottle. Way easier to manage, fill, empty, the whole nine, and it doesn't take up room inside your pack. So water bladders, don't like them, ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's, what is it, like, I want to say the bottles are like half an ounce empty versus the water bladders. The ultralight ones are 5 ounces, so you're saving a lot of weight, too.
But even those, they're prone to mold, they're prone, all kinds of stuff. You know, what if you break the bite valve, then it just leaks on you, and then it's useless anyways. Yeah. What if it leaks inside your pack? Then everything inside your pack is wet. So, leave your water bladders at home and get some smart water bottles.
Yeah. I'm the choir on this one for sure. There's a company, I think it's called like Hydropack. They make most, if not all, of the water bladders for like all the big companies like, you know, Osprey, Nathan, Ultra Action, all that stuff. And they upgraded their bite valve system like a year or two ago to something that leaked after like extreme usage to leakage after just a few trips. It was crazy. Like it was just like having it unlocked, you'd be dribbling water all over your chest. And so
not good.
I'm with you on that one. And I think there's a lot of other issues too. Just trying to keep the bite valve clean, not have it go in the dirt. And then, I just think that there's just a lot going on there. So 100% with you.
Yeah. Even if you had extra water and you want to share it, I'm going to have you dump it out of your bite valve into my, no, I'm good.
I know. I've done that before. It's like, it's weird. It's like kind of socially awkward, to be honest.
Yeah, right. It's like bar lending out your underwear. It's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually did that recent, not too far. Cause I'll bring the, I'll bring those on trail runs. I don't mind them as much actually I prefer them on trail runs.
Borrowed underwear?
Yeah. Yeah. The underwear. No, the water bladder. The bladder. I'll bring that. And I ran into a couple folks who were pretty far from the trailhead. I want to say a couple miles out, and it was like a mom and her kid, and they were out of water, and it was a hot day, and they wanted the water out of my water bladder. I was like, you can have whatever you want, but this is kind of gross. And they're like, we need water. And so I literally, it looks like you're just kind of, I don't know.
It's weird.
It's just weird. I don't know how to describe it. But anyway, all right. This next one, I've got like this shocks me. And you might be somebody who brings this along. I don't know. But this is definitely a thing in backpacking, and I don't get it. This has nothing to do with weight. This is all about just enjoyment on the trail. And that is Spam. Do you bring Spam?
Oh, wow. I do not bring Spam. Okay. What do they call them? Meat lollipops? I've eaten Spam at home, but it's cooked. Eating raw Spam seems disgusting to me. Okay. Like, I understand it's a good fat source, just protein and things like that. But yeah, unless I'm cooking it. But even then, I could bring other things besides Spam on trail. But I agree with you. I'll give you that.
Well, okay. And this is like, if you kind of like randomly click through like backpacking videos, food to bring in the trail or trip videos, what are they eating? Like, you're going to see Spam pop up a lot. And so here's the thing is that, like, I get it. Like, back in the 1980s, when people didn't look at the ingredients list and they're like, this just tastes good, then you kind of eat what you get, right? But we're so far from that now. Like, just look at the ingredients list. If you can't pronounce it, chemicals, like, come on, we got to do better than that. Like,
I agree. Now, so they make Spam here in Austin, Minnesota. There's actually a whole museum. Like, not far from here, and I've never been there, but I should go.
That's disgusting.
it's interesting, but I know, like, back in, like, 1944, you know, they made their first batch of Spam.
Okay.
You know? And I think in 2024, next year, they're going to make their second batch. So, you know.
What's in the Spam is the question. Like, is it, like, they got the mystery meat? Like, are they putting, like raccoon and squirrels in that stuff? Like, who knows, man? It could be anything.
Well, I mean, if you're on trail, everything tastes better. So, you know, tomato, potato, whatever.
That part's true. We just have so many options now. There's so many better options. So,
would you rather eat Spam or Vienna sausage?
I don't know if I could stomach either one of them. I don't know as much about Vienna sausages. So just because it's their unknown, I'd go with them. How about you?
Okay. But they're like on equal footing. But if I had to, Okay, let's say I was cooking ramen. I'd put Vienna sausages in ramen, but I don't think I would put Spam in ramen. Yeah. Is that weird?
People put the Spam in the ramen. They do. That's a thing.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe Spam. Slight edge.
What do I got? I think I got four in now. So what's your... Is it four? Do I have three or four? One, two, three.
You have three because I went okay. first, right? So this would be my gotcha. Fourth.
All right, go for it.
This one and... You know, I know their effectiveness. I get it. They've actually done a really, really good job at marketing. They do a fairly decent job, but I think carrying a jet boil on trail is ridiculous.
You're trying to poke me. This is intentional right here.
Oh, yeah. Yes, you're a jet boil yeah. guy. Now, I understand. I understand that they're efficient. They're not light.
No.
They're not compact.
No.
If you're just boiling water, you don't need something like that. I remember when I first, my friend had a jet boil and they cooked mashed potatoes in there and they had a heck of a time trying to clean the thing. You know, it's like, forget it. I just do a BRS, you know, 3000T, Tokes titanium cup, and that's pretty much the cook set right there. It weighs half of a jet boil. It compacts down smaller and it's a lot more versatile. Jet boils are just big and bulky and heavy and unnecessary for what I do on trail.
For what you do is the key to what you just said right there. And so we're talking about boil times and fuel efficiency are two things that I'm concerned with. And so I'll typically bring, I don't want to bring a jet boil if I'm just going with myself or with, you know, three or four people. This is for like six plus people. One stove, one fuel canister gets me through a 4 to 5 day trip. And so that's why I'm bringing it. And so it's boiling so fast that nobody's really waiting, if at all, because people might be setting up their tent while I'm boiling water. And typically I have all their food made in a very short amount of time. And because it's so efficient, I only have to bring one canister. So portioned out weight versus everybody bringing their own stoves and like fuel cans, it ends up being a better deal in that scenario. I get smaller groups. You're totally right. Not worth it. Not worth it.
I see your point. I don't backpack in those kinds of groups where we do group meals. Like in the wintertime we do. Sure, that's a completely different story. But when I'm on trail with 3, 4, 5 people, everyone has their own stove.
Right.
We wake up at different times. People want to cook different things. Someone wants a coffee in the middle of the day. Not breaking out a jet boil, you know, every time for that. If they have their own things, great. But I've never had an opportunity to hike in a group where someone's doing like all the water.
It's not group meals. It's just like I'm boiling. Now it's your turn to boil. It's just kind of taking turns. We're just sharing. You know, it's the concept of group gear, right? Where you're just portioning out the group gear. And so you're collectively carrying less as a result.
I got you. So yeah, that's a lot more community based where, you know, with me and my group, you're on your own, figure it out. Don't die.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is a different episode. But no, I totally get it. I'm with you. And in fact, I ended up, I had a smaller stove that I ended up recently selling, leaving me with a jet boil. And then I was like waiting for the next sale to buy my kind of a BRS. I ended up buying like the Pocket Rocket 2, but I got caught where I was going on a trip in between. And so I had to bring the jet boil and I was like, ooh, I'm going to ask if anybody just doesn't want to bring their stove and I'll just boil water for them. So they can actually literally just all carry it for them. They can take things out of their pack. Nobody said yes. So I literally just carried a jet boil for myself and I felt dumb. So I'm with you.
Yeah. But you were much more efficient than them and you got to walk around saying I'm the jet boil guy.
Right. Right. That being said, okay. All of what you said aside, jet boil's got to the point now where they're so stinking expensive that I don't know that I would be buying one anyway. Their patent, I think, is up or about to be up. And so they have some comparable people out there that are making stoves similar at about half the cost. So I don't know that I'm a jet boil guy. I just happened to have bought one a long time ago, just to clarify.
Right. I mean, they are good. And like I said, they are efficient. And I think Fire Maple has a version of it. But you're right. You're going to start seeing a lot more versions of it. So the prices will come down depending on the scenario and your backpacking. You know, trip. Yeah. I mean, I guess it would make sense for doing what you do, but I don't, you know, I'm not as nice as you. So yeah, boil your own water.
I think you're nice still, but jet boil is coming out with something in about a year. I want to say a little less than a year. They weren't willing to share what it was. Maybe it'll be the next revolutionary stove, which will even, you know, be lighter weight or improve boil times. Who knows? We'll find out.
Interesting.
All right. My number four, I'm going to go, let's see here. I did have the jet boil fuel stabilizer on my list because people that are bringing that with their jet boils, I feel like that's just kind of nonsense. I won't go down that road. I'm going to go with This is something I still see. This is people that want to start campfires. Here in Colorado, we like the campfires when there's no fire ban in the summertime. And they're bringing grocery store matches, like Kroger brand matches. All right?
That's really specific, okay?
Yeah, well, no, I mean, because they're just like the cheap matches, and you think, well, a match is a match is a match. So I'll just, you know, grab a box of matches, I'm good to go. But they're terrible. The Kroger brand ones, like, you got your own Kroger stores. They're called something different every state. Like, in California, they're called Ralph's. We got City Market. We got, you know, I don't know.
Sure, sure.
Whatever it is. But if you, first of all, A, bring a lighter, okay? That's going to be way more efficient. B, if you need matches because you want to have a backup to your lighter, bring like those stormproof matches. Those are awesome at starting campfires. They're like mini flares for starting campfires. And so I just think grocery store matches, I don't know why I'm still seeing those. I would rather have nothing than have those because they're the same thing.
That's really funny. And yeah, okay. I see your point. I do carry matches in my fire kit and they are a backup and I've never had a problem with matches. And a lot of times
are they grocery store ones?
Yeah, well, no, they're like Diamond brand or whatever. Okay. And, you know, they're not anything, you know, special. But right. I camp in the winter where it's cold, cold, cold. And Bic lighters don't work. It's way too cold for those. So matches, right. Yeah, you need those to start fires.
Stormproof matches, you know? Man.
But the stormproof ones makes way more sense. They're a lot more robust. They hold a lot of fire. They burn really, really hot. They're much more expensive.
They are.
Than regular matches, because you could buy, you know, a pack of, what, 12 boxes of matches for a couple bucks.
Right.
But I get it. But if they're cheap, 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 then you're just breaking them, you know, as you go. And
for sure.
It's a whole thing. So.
But I buy it. So, I mean, we have campfires fairly regularly. And I buy a box of stormproof matches. I think the last time I bought them, they were like $4.50. Expensive for matches. I get it. But they'll last me 3 years.
That makes sense.
Because one's usually sufficient. So.
I'm going to buy some matches, and I think Yuko makes them, right? Some really good ones.
Okay.
So I'll buy them and try them just for you.
You're taking more notes. You're writing things down again.
Yeah.
This makes me feel like this is like a study session or something.
Hey, you know, I'm learning, you know? I mean, I know everything, you know, but I just want to confirm everything I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like follow up with this point just to kind of stick it to Carl.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I'm going to fact check all of this.
Yeah, for sure. All right, you got your number five final item, and your is part of the 10 ridiculous things you're still bringing on trips. What you got?
I have a couple choices here, and I see both, but I'm going to. I actually carry one of these, and so I'm not going to say that one. But I still see this on trip.
Oh yeah, I'm guilty. Guilty.
It's... No need for deodorant. You're out in the woods. You know, let your stinky flag fly, brother. You know, I mean. Everyone complains, oh, bugs always love me. No, they love this. You know what I mean? Embrace the stink. You become smell deaf eventually anyways. The only time you got to worry about it is when you like walk into a Kroger's after your trip and everyone looks like you like you're homeless. That's okay. Yeah. Let them think that. But there's no need to bring this on trip.
Ooh, I so want to agree with you on this one because I hate bringing it. So A, my wife requires it when I'm going with her. Like she requires it. It's not a conversation. She's like, you got to bring the deodorant. And then I feel obligated to bring it when I'm leading a group of folks where I'm not super tight with all of them. I feel like I got to put my best foot forward and I don't want to be the stinkiest guy in the group. So if I'm with my buddies, I'm typically not bringing it. If I'm with people that I don't know as well, like we had a Patreon trip a couple weeks ago, for example, I had the deodorant with me. So guilty as charged, but man, I'm on your side.
You're afraid of people judging you? They're already there with you. They're already your fans. No need to spice it up for yourself.
You're probably right. It's like what do you call it? Self-confidence issue, probably.
Okay, fair enough. If you are looking to bring it on trail, my girlfriend showed me this hack. She actually brings deodorant on trail. I make fun of her.
Okay.
But she actually takes an empty chapstick and plunges it in here, twist it, and now she's got a chapstick deodorant.
Okay.
And she had it in Colorado with her. And I was like, that's smart, ridiculous, but I get it.
All right. I can't argue that on that one, even though I'm guilty. You got me on that one. All right. This one, okay, my last one, I got a few to pick from, but I think I'm now off of Team Mountain House.
100%.
I never want to have 100%. I know that some of their meals are not bad, But they do make some like outright bad meals, and there's some price gouging meals, specifically with the chicken and rice and the macaroni and cheese, where they're charging you full price for things that cost whatever 25, 30 cents to make. And so their lack of innovation and all of the other options out there with, you know, the Peak and the Pinnacle and the Packet Gourmet and all the P names, like there's so much good stuff out there. And I just love getting to camp after putting in some miles and having a nice meal. I don't want to make that nice meal Mountain House. I think it's time to ditch the Mountain House. What do you think?
I agree with you. So there's been a lot of competition in the market, and you mentioned all the P names. Now, when Mountain House first came out, I mean, they were revolutionary. It was actually food that tasted decent, had a lot of calories. They're very, very salty, but that's okay when you're on a backpacking trip. But I think they've rested on their laurels a little bit. And then, you know, come along your Packet Gourmets and your Peak Refuels and Pinnacles, and they were making some really good food. And now Mountain House is kind of fallen to the wayside. The only thing that I'll still eat from them are their blueberries and granola in the morning, because it's really easy and it's actually pretty decent. But their actual meals, they're definitely falling short. So Mountain House, I know you're still out there. And if you listen to the show, step it up, you know, hire Wolfgang Puck or Ramsey, Gordon Ramsay. I don't know, something.
Yeah.
You know, step it up.
We had, what was it? We had a company on earlier this summer that did that. They hired a 2-star Michelin chef, Wild Society. Have you heard of them?
Wild Society. No, let me write that down. No,
they're newer. They're newer. Yeah. So they have meals with 2-star Michelin chefs, and we tried it. And to be honest, like, it was fine. It was definitely better than Mountain House, but it wasn't as good as the other ones. So maybe their other, we only tried one flavor. So maybe some of their other flavors are better, but just FYI.
Okay. Well, I know there's brands popping up, and I'm eager to try them. So, I'm always looking for the next best thing on trail. And
yeah, especially with food, you want to have the variety. So that was a great list, man. We had some that we agreed on, some we disagreed on. Feel free to give your own feedback. I had a few more on my list that we just didn't get to, but I think for the most part, we hit the big ones. So I think it's time for trivia. I call this old-timey backpacking gear trivia coming up.
Old-timey.
Right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Are you looking to be less sore, a stronger climber, or simply faster on the trail? Then check out the Training for Trekking podcast. These bite-sized episodes are full of excellent information that can improve your trail performance. He's specially trained in sports science and strength and conditioning to get your body in the right shape and prepared for adventure. Check out the Training for Trekking podcast wherever you get your podcast.
All right, so old-timey backpacking trivia. The idea is that people, you know, based on the topic of our episode, is that people have been bringing things that they shouldn't be bringing anymore, the things that are maybe outdated or downright useless. So that's kind of where the theme comes from. So you got to get 2 out of 3 to pass a trivia. If you don't get 2 out of 3... your punishment is you've got to call out a fellow YouTuber for a ridiculous piece of gear.
Oh, man. I would almost lose on purpose just to call out everybody.
Okay. Well, you can do that if you want to. That can be... I would happily keep that footage and add it to an upcoming episode. However, if you pass, you get 2 or 3, what's my punishment? What do you got?
Well, this is going to be a big ask and a challenge, because everyone thinks we are insane. All right?
Okay.
If I win this challenge, I'm going to throw out an open invite, Mr. Mandrioli, to come on a Sub-Zero event with me and my crew.
Oh, man. Oh, my gosh. I can't even get anybody to go winter backpack with me here in Colorado when it's not Sub-Zero.
I want to bring you out in the middle of nowhere and have you have the time of your life and not be cold.
I don't have the gear for that. Do you have extra gear?
I have gear acquisition syndrome. I can outfit anybody. Don't you worry about that. All right.
I'm happy to bring like 100 pounds worth of stuff just to stay warm.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll see what happens. I appreciate the offer. That's super nice of you. Sure. Appreciate that. So, all right, here we go. Number one, in the early days, backpackers used aluminum water bottles that would freeze near the mouth of the bottle. By the 1970s, they had replaced those with what brand of bottle?
In the 70s, you said?
Correct.
I may have to go with Nalgene.
Nalgene is correct. Woo! Not sure what any other competing companies would be out there that have made bottles that people are still bringing on backpacking trips. Like, it's still happening.
You know what? That could have been an item, because I see them everywhere and they're great. They're heavy and bulky.
I had a dead horse category where I've just been beating the dead horse with things like Nalgene was on that list, just so you know. So we've talked about that a lot.
Fair.
What is it? 6.7 ounces for an empty bottle. So there you go. All right, number two. In 1972 was the year a sleeping pad, an inflatable sleeping pad was created to replace the foam pads. Which brand was born?
Is the company that old? Thermarest.
Thermarest, you have passed trivia, my friend.
Wow, that's older than me. That's old.
That's when they started. I don't know that they were popularized for another 8 years or so, but
man, Thermarest.
All right, bonus question. In the early 1980s, this company revolutionized the lighting market by adding a relatively lightweight headlamp called the Zoom.
The Zoom. A lighting.
That's the model name, but I'm looking for the company name.
The Zoom.
Yeah. And that model lasted until, it might still even be around right now.
I don't know if they started off as lighting company, because I think Black Diamond has something called a Zoom. Okay. Otherwise, I'm going to say Maglite.
Maglite's a really good guess. It was Petzl.
Oh, Petzl.
Petzl Zoom. Petzl.
Yeah. Of course.
Don't take more notes. You have your pencil start running down.
Petzl.
You don't have to look that up. It's not the best headlamp on the market anymore. You don't want to have that one anyway.
No,
so.
I do have a Petzl somewhere.
It doesn't matter. You got 2 out of 3. So, yeah, I'll have to carve out some time to head up to the frozen north when the skeeters are dormant and the temperatures have dropped.
So, wintertime, no mosquitoes, no bears, no people,
and
no natural warmth.
Who's part of your crew? Do we know who's on your crew for a trip like this? Like, is this,
yes,
are these any other YouTubers?
A few YouTubers are on there, and a couple of civilians as well. And every year we've taken a newbie with us, people who aren't from here. So we have Jeremy LaCroix, also a Midwest backpacker. He's one of our main crew. Yep. Miyagi on the Trail is one of our main crew, and then his buddy Milosh is one of them. And then we've also taken buddies like Shug. Okay. He came with us last year. We've taken other guys like Mule. We had a guy from Indiana, Andy Parrish Outdoors. He came with us last year.
Yep, I know Andy.
So, yeah, and we've taken people from like Indiana, Kentucky, all these places to come up to the frozen tundra and just have a blast in the northern woods. Something completely out of the ordinary for most people. But to, you know, people like my group, you know, it's just another trip.
I have supreme respect for what you guys do. And I seriously have tried, I think I'm like 4 years in a row where I've tried to put together a winter trip, even just like an overnighter just here in the local mountains. All right. So last thing I got is we got our tidbit section, and this is just for you, Rob. Can you tell us what you've got going on your channel, any upcoming videos, anything you want people to know about your awesome YouTube channel?
Well, my YouTube channel is about the outside life and finding the adventures in it in all four seasons. You know, whether it's deep winter up in here in Minnesota, whether I'm in Arizona, more recently I was in Colorado, New Mexico, hiking all over the place. And those videos are coming out here very, very soon. I've started doing some car camping, car life kind of stuff. So some of that content is going to be coming out as well. So if you're into really good information and a moderately charming personality, then my channel is for you. And I'm trying to grow it. I would like to do it a lot more regularly. I would love to get to a point where I can do this full time, but you know that comes with time and just keep plugging away. So check me out. Feel free to drop me a note or a comment on my video. I'd love to have you stop by.
Yeah, and we'll have the link in the show description. Now, you mentioned like a few kind of styles of videos you're going to be coming out with. Are any of the upcoming videos entitled something like how to keep rodents out of your car?
Maybe. You know, that emergency chapstick. You know,
emergency chapstick.
Yep, borrow my underwear. All the stuff is coming.
Okay, hey Rob, you're always the best, man. We hope to continue to have you on our show moving forward. Hopefully with Derek the next time. And just thanks for co-hosting this episode, man. This is an honor and a pleasure for me. And just thanks for joining the show.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on, and thanks for being nicer to me this time.
Whoa. You can't end with a thought like that. What did we do that was mean the last time? Making fun of your bags?
Yeah, so I did get some comments like, man, those guys were rough on you. And I'm like,
what?
They're tame. Oh, and I loved gosh. It. I loved everything.
We got the opposite comments. We got comments that were like, man, Rob was the best. He was one of your best guests ever. So right, we got like opposing it. Things. Sorry if we were rough on you. We weren't making fun of your bags. We were just making fun of your love for bags. Or at least I was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I still look for more bags. Just give me all the bags.
You're part of the majority. I'm part of the minority because there's a lot of bag love going on out there. So what do I know? That's all we got for this week, folks. Thanks for checking in. Have a great week and God bless everybody.